Save big money on everything at Menards. Keep your guns, ammunition, and valuables secure with Sports Appeal Gun Safes. We have multiple sizes available to fit your needs. The spacious interiors are fully carpeted to protect against scratches and include adjustable side shelves to suit your storage needs. Save big on Sports Appeal at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at
Menards. I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay Clone 51.
Whoop, whoop. And today, we're going to get back into the big subject about Bigfoot.
Yay, we're finally back to Bigfoot.
I haven't done Bigfoot in a long time, but before that, we have our front of house stuff. Just want to say thank you, Season 6. It's going amazing. We thank you guys so much for all the love and support. It's, it was so fun. We've done a couple conferences about a month ago by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
And it was so fun meeting everybody and Aaron, first, like, newer listeners and stuff like that, and the older listeners coming out and hanging out too. It's just fun when it's like a mixed group of like people that like started listening a couple months ago versus people that have been listening for a couple years.
Years, it's crazy.
And they're like, you know, just it's fun. It's really, it's an honor.
And if you are one of those new listeners, perhaps you should stop on over to the Apple review spot for our podcast and leave a 5-star review and we'll read it on the show.
Yeah. Or Spotify as well. You can leave reviews underneath episodes, individual reviews on episodes.
Right.
That's the couple I have for you. Today, Jasper. Thank you guys for all the work you put into the show. Please don't end the show anytime soon. Do not worry. There's no plans on it.
Yeah, we don't plan on it at all, Jasper. Mm-hmm. But thank you.
Unless I finally murder Jay, which can happen.
Well, we'll see.
And this one, just literally as I was getting ready to do this, just popped up.
All right, what is it?
It's from Tia in our giant rat episode.
Ooh.
On a brighter note, the baby in Lady and the Tramp didn't die. His crib was just knocked over by a lady while the rat was chasing the rat away from the crib.
Ah.
But the movie did really instill fear of rats in me when I was a kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, because we talked, I don't know, do you remember when we talked about that?
That was a while ago.
What? I mean, yeah, well, it was
a few months ago.
Ronald McDonald episode.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I thought the baby had died.
Oh, you said that in the episode?
Because rats did kill babies, like, and we talked about that in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, so I thought in Lady and the Tramp that the baby had passed away.
You just figured, yeah.
Well, because it never gets, I don't think it ever gets brought back up again, but Tia remembers or looked it up or, you know, so I want to believe Tia.
All right. Thank you, Tia.
Thank you, Tia. All right. New Patreon members, do this really fast. Ambrosia, welcome. Another Cincinnati fan.
Welcome, Ambrosia.
Ingrid. Thank you. Ingrid Dean. Thank you.
Welcome, Ingrid.
And a new Peyton.
Oh, another Peyton.
Yep. We have two Ingrids and two Peytons.
Oh, all right.
First Ambrosia.
Stacking them up.
Yep. Conferences, pretty much what we have left for the year is our conference, October 5th.
Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
Come out, have fun. Cryptid whoop, costume whoop, contest, whoop, whoop, walk whoop, like whoop. A Bigfoot, cryptid call contest, all kinds of fun things. No, it's going to be so much fun.
We just judged Bigfoot calling contests.
Well, by the time this comes out,
oh, yeah.
A month and a half, two months ago.
Well, I say we just did.
Yeah. But no, it's going to be so much fun. And then also we have Crypticon in November, and then we're done for the year.
Oh, all right. So there's our last two chances to see us, spend time with us.
Have some fun.
Especially at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, October 5th. Free for anyone that wants to come out and hang out at the park and see vendors, eat food, hang out with us, throw stuff off the bridge.
Okay. Let's calm down. I just want to reiterate our t-shirt winners from the awesome people that designed some of our new t-shirts. Michael Thomas.
Thompson.
Thank you. I always do it wrong. I always do it wrong because we have Joel Thomas and Michael Thompson.
Yeah.
And it's just for whatever reason. But he's author of Winslow Hoffner, the Chicken Boy comic book series, and the Orb series. Check out Michael. He does awesome work. He did the art for us in Chicken Boy style.
Yeah, it's
which
awesome.
Which is awesome. Chris Goings from Black Sheep Studios and Nevermore Hollows podcast. Awesome stuff. He's actually working on a second design for us right this second. And Troy Bush from Into the Abyss podcast.
All right.
Which Troy's just getting his podcast up and running, so thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Check all these guys out with their amazing stuff.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right. We're going to talk about something. We've kind of tangentially touched this subject many a times before, but never really dived into it.
Okay, what would that be?
White Bigfoots.
Ooh, okay, like white-furred Bigfoots.
We have a lot of science at the end with this stuff, because there's a lot of reason an animal, if you want to go flesh and blood, can be white.
Now, I've heard a couple stories, and I've seen one video that I'm on the fence on.
You've seen a video of a white Bigfoot?
Yeah, there's a video of a guy like going through the woods, and like he's like going through just his flashlight, but then he...
I do know the video you're talking about. Go
shoots
on.
Shoots his flashlight up, you know, shoots it into a certain area where he hears a noise, and it looks... It's a white Bigfoot kind of leaning around the tree, makes eye contact with the camera, and then turns, and it's just like gone in a flash. It could be a fake video, but I don't know. Something about it always just seemed like it had potential to be real to me. But that's the only time I've ever seen a white Bigfoot, to my knowledge. I don't think I've ever seen another video with one. And man, the stories, I've very limited from my knowledge.
They're there.
Right.
There's some populations or maybe individuals that are pretty famous.
Okay.
When it comes to white Bigfoots, some area, like there's some that have areas.
Is that the proper name for multiple Bigfoot?
Big feet?
Bigfoots, big feet, Bigfoots?
I don't know, whatever you...
Or is it just Bigfoot, you know, just... It might just be that one. You know, it's this... What do you call that? Where it's just a singular version of the word. You know, like when it... I don't know, like deer. It's the same thing.
Like moose and moose?
Yeah, Bigfoot.
Yeah, it could... I always go with Bigfoot, like... Is the plural and the singular.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. I think that's probably right. I think, aren't most things like that, most animals...
No. Well, no. I don't know. It varies wildly.
Right. I just thought I heard or read that somewhere more. But I guess that's a really odd stat to track.
It is.
Yeah,
it
but
is.
I don't know. But anyways, I digress.
But like, we'll talk about the Alabama big, like, there's been several that have just, like, the Alabama white thing is one that has popped up repeatedly. Wait, and we talked about a little bit in our white thing episode that it was not the same as the northern white thing.
Oh, gotcha.
You know.
Just got excited when I heard the white
thing. So some of this came from everything from like BFRO to Mysterious Universe to several other smaller sources, including some locals that have talked to us about white Bigfoots. I don't even know if you remember.
I don't.
Yeah. So yeah, we got told about a white Bigfoot, and then I looked into it, and there was a whole bunch of white Bigfoots seen in that one spot. Probably the most well-known series of sightings concerning what appeared to be an albino or white Bigfoot began back in the 1970s. In the wilds of the United States of Pennsylvania, most refer to it simply as the Pennsylvania white Bigfoot, which I've heard about this and didn't ever really know a ton about it.
But okay.
Tangentially, you know, you hear about the white Bigfoot of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
The creature of creatures were first seen by a witness named Antmi B, who saw it in the forest and described it as being about 7 foot tall, with matted, dirty white hair all over it. She said this of the creature. Its eyes were dark and spaced far apart. Its white fur covered the lower half of its face. It had pinkish skin around its eyes and forehead. It looked like its hair was a little longer on its head and hanging over its forehead, almost like bangs. So that's kind of our first real big thing when we get into this, is really pink skin, which when we talk about Bigfoots, we, you know, flesh and blood, spiritual, doesn't matter. But they almost always have like a dark skin tone.
Right.
Black, blue, gray, you know, for their skin color. Hair, you know, hair color is always, it can be a variety from black, red, browns, you know, even greens and whites.
And everything in between.
And yeah, silverback coloration with the white back and, you know, like the skunk apes down south where they have the big white stripe down their back and stuff like that.
They got their name from their pattern, not their stench.
Even though they did stink.
Right.
But yes, you remembered. So whatever it was stayed dormant for a while until 1973, when two young girls spotted an 8-foot-tall beast with shaggy white fur and glowing red eyes in Beaver County.
Mm.
This reports of particularly odd and surreal, as the creature was described as holding onto some sort of glowing orb in its massive hands.
I don't know.
When the frightened girls told their father about it, he allegedly went out to look for it, but could find no trace of it. Even more bizarrely, a pair of white Bigfoot-like creatures would be seen later in the same year in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, and the time it conjectured with a UFO hovering over a pasture they were in.
Interesting.
So we're connecting several episodes we've done over the last couple years.
Yeah, into one.
Red eyes, glowing red eyes. It had a orb in its hands. And we can describe the orb a little better here in a minute. And then this, you know, a couple weeks later or whatever, it was seen. Two of them were seen again
with
UFO hovering overhead.
Activity, yeah.
And we may have actually covered this the other way with our UFO and Bigfoot episode. The local woman claimed that they shot at the creatures with a shotgun, but it had little to no effect as far as she could tell. So before I move on to this area, from this area, the orb they described was almost like a glass ball. Is the best way the girls could kind of really describe it.
Okay.
So it didn't look like glass, but it looked like it had some kind of hard, clear shell.
Okay.
So glass was their best description. It had black-ish, like, things floating into it with a bright light right in the center of it.
The orb you're talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it had a bright light in it and, like, almost lava lamp black ooze in it.
Okay.
Very odd. It was a very odd spiritual thing or device or interdimensional, like, who knows, but it was just very oddly described, and they went into good detail about it. You know, when you really look at this thing, it's odd. The Bigfoot was holding it, like carrying it around, like a flashlight almost.
Okay.
But it wasn't. It was putting off light, but not like a crazy amount of light or nothing.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Just odd. In 2008, there were reports of a white Bigfoot rummaging around the rural areas of Carbondale, Pennsylvania, which I've been to all these areas of Pennsylvania. Beaver County is where I did the Beaver Falls surveys.
Oh, nice.
There were numerous reports of seeing a creature in the same area around the same time. It was around this time there were also reports of what appeared to be a smaller juvenile version of the creature as well. The beast in particular was said to roam about the old abandoned mine reclamation site in the vicinity, and these sightings would continue until 2010, when a local man took a much discussed footage of the thing in his backyard. The footage in question has been widely criticized as being a hoax, with researchers such as Scott Carpenter saying this about it. In my opinion, this is what Scott said.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion, this is a hoax. Some thought went into the making and it looks realistic and believable. The person put on a white makeup and put on some sort of white jacket. On the head was a white mesh material they used to fit very tight. Using a flashlight with the video camera was a perfect way to cover up any flaws or showing any skin from the subject within it. Since no mask was used, facial expressions and recreation to the light would look very natural. Jerking the flashlight around would also make the subject appear to move much faster than it actually was.
I see.
And people have widely opinions on Scott Carpenter. I believe he's now passed, and his son is doing work now. But Tony's worked a lot with him and stuff like that. Like, I've seen the video. It's weird. I'll try to remember to put it up on Facebook when this comes up. I kind of lean towards it probably being a hoax, cashing in on a local like explosion of sightings.
And this ain't that one I was.
It could have been. I don't know. I don't really know what you're talking about. Regardless of the footage, I mean, much discussion. You can see was it a Bigfoot? Was it a hoax? Was it something else? What it was the white Bigfoot of Pennsylvania? Well, other states have their own accounts of what seems to be a white Bigfoot as well. Before I move on, though, what do you think? So this Pennsylvania flap, there was three or four groups of time groups. You know, there was the one in the 70s. There was one in 70. There's one in 73. And then another group started in 2008 all the way to 2010.
Oh, man, big gap.
Any thoughts?
Well, all found in the same area or just found in Pennsylvania?
That's just, we just went Pennsylvania general. And that's a pretty tight area, a couple hours of each other.
Okay. Well, those first ones with the red eyes and the skin, like the pale skin they could see, I'm wondering if it was just like an albino one.
Hold on to that thought, yeah. I mean,
just for that one in particular.
So they said the first one had, okay, let's go back. The very first one in 70, white hair, pink face, dark, spaced out eyes. So we'll talk about albinism later. Yeah.
So there was another one you said.
The second one with the girls.
Yeah.
And the glowing red eyes.
That's what I was talking about.
But you could have the pink eyes.
Yeah.
From, you know, albinism. Albinism,
yeah. Because I've seen people with albino eyes, you know, it can almost say it's red looking.
Yeah, no, it's pink red, it's blood.
Yeah.
So the reason why they look red is because there's no pigment in it.
Right.
And you just have blood flow. Blood
flow, okay.
So you can move your mic. Okay. But yeah, no, that's why gator's eyes and stuff like that sometimes shine red.
Red, because of blood.
You're getting the blood in the back of the eye. But that was the one that had the orb, too.
Okay.
So there was other very strange stuff happening.
Yeah, a lot going on, okay.
And then the one in Carbondale with the smaller one, I'm pretty sure it was white as well, which is odd. You know, albinism is genetic,
mm-hmm.
but even in that circumstance, it's still extremely rare.
Right, yeah.
Not saying it's impossible. It's just, it's really rare to have a mother give birth to an albino baby that's all, you know, they're both albino.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about, like, reptiles, we have it now to where, like when you breed reptiles to get albinoism or whatever, you can get it, but it's even rare and sometimes in those clutches. So other states have them. One account comes from the state of West Virginia, where a woman gave the Lisa, who says that she had been driving down an isolated country road with her husband one evening. The night was dark and quiet, just the shadows of the tree and the flickering lanes floating past outside. That was the night ahead. There was bloomed. A form of something crouching in the road. So as they're coming up, you can start seeing this thing appear in the headlights. Brought out of the dark by the approaching headlights. She says this about her bizarre encounter. It was about 50 yards from us. There was something in the road. It was on all fours and was white as snow. It was bigger than a dog, way bigger. As we got closer, it turned and looked our way. Its mouth was wide open and it stood up on two legs. It began running across the road up into the woods. I never said a thing. All I could do was sit there, stunned. A few minutes later, Joe asked if I had seen that thing as well. Unable to answer him, I began to cry.
Ooh.
And they have a drawing of this thing, and it's absolutely horrible.
Terrifying?
Yeah,
like right out of a nightmare?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely horrible.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of the thing from Monsters, Inc., the Yeti, that they encounter. But, like, if it was mixed with Herschel Brewer's...
If it was a horror movie?
Well, remember Herschel Brewer's artwork?
Herschel, yeah.
It looks like one of Herschel's...
I could see that.
...paintings mixed with...
I love Herschel's, but Herschel's... Some of his are...
Scary.
He captures the scariness really well.
It's what it looks like. It's a Herschel painting.
Another West Virginia report came from an area called Baker's Ridge. It involves a college student who was watching a house for a family on vacation. The atmosphere quickly became very spooky. As the house was situated in the middle of nowhere in the woods, surrounded by trees in the day and impenetrable blackness at night. The sense of foreboding on all hours. But it would even get scarier still. One evening, amongst the canopy of the symphony of the forest night, outside she heard some loud banging sounds, which sounded like somebody or something ramming around the back porch.
Okay.
So she's watching this house by herself in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Every college kid's worst nightmare. And then you just hear a bear or something going through all this stuff on the porch.
Well, yeah, it's literally like a 90s scary movie, like, plot.
Thinking it was some animal, like a raccoon, she went to shoo it off, but peered through the window and revealed two glowing red eyes peering back at her. Oh,
screw that.
Famed with a dark shape around 5 feet high. The mysterious animal then ran at the house on two legs and began banging on all the windows and walls and let out furious howls. As it loomed past his thin pane of glass separating them, the witness could see it was covered in long, shaggy white hair and had remarkably human-like hands. After some time of lurking right outside the window, The thing slunked off into the night, and shortly after she could hear it ransacking the garbage pails a bit further from the house before disappearing into the darkness. When she inspected the area from what she perceived as safety of daylight, she discovered whatever it had left behind footprints in the mud. There were muddy footprints and human-like handprints streaked all up and down the windows, the garage, and miscellaneous objects strewn all around the place. Like a garbage can themselves had been crushed and twisted with great force. So she actually talked about the garbage can was like twisted like a pop bottle.
Yeah.
Like somebody was just like
when you
mad.
When you grab it and twist it. When you're trying to collapse the can, you twist it so it's easier. Yeah.
So what do you think about that one?
It's pretty, terrifying. That would be like the ultimate, the scariest Bigfoot thing is if you, when you peer out the window or you pull the blinds and there's two big red eyes right there, right in your face, staring right back. I can't think of anything scarier than that.
No, it's not great.
No, like,
red eyes, and then the thing runs at the house.
Yeah, that part too, just running right at it.
Like, yeah, because a lot of Bigfoot, like, they get caught and they run away.
Or they just sit still.
They sit still, or they start slinking back into the darkness.
Yeah.
And this thing is, like, run at.
Yeah, just.
And we could talk, so red eyes, so glowing red eyes, but it could just be red eyes, and people are, you know, we talked about that with humans and fear and what happens to memories with fear. They can get blown up, exaggerated, and stuff added.
Be 10 times scarier, yeah.
Yeah, because it's your brain trying to scream at you, the predator, time to
right, time to skedaddle. Danger, danger.
But what we're going to talk, we'll talk about later with albinos and attitudes.
Oh.
Yeah. There's some genetic factors that go along with that.
With across the board for?
Most mammals, if Bigfoot's a mammal.
Okay.
Yeah. In 2005, there was an interesting report on the site Sasquatch Chronicles. Hi, Wes.
Wow. Hi, Wes.
The witness is a woman from Loudoubel, Missouri, who had said that she had been visiting her parents along with her 4-year-old son at that time. One day, she was sitting on her porch in the rural property along with her son and her parents' dog in the mid-afternoon in the broad daylight. So really, broad daylight thing is really weird for these guys. As she leisurely looked over the quaint scenery, she noticed something appeared to be a large man making their way through the field nearby, which began to draw nearer to their trailer where they'd been staying. The dog was apparently not happy with this, began to bark uncontrollably. The woman was unsettled enough that she took her son inside. She could see at this point whatever it was clearly not a human. She says this about what happens next.
All right.
The thing, for lack of a better word to call it, was walking on two legs, aimlessly, not in a hurry, and I could not find any reason as to why it came into the yard, just to look around aimlessly and leisurely walk. There was a wooden fence, most of it mostly for decoration, only about 20 feet long. The thing walked next to it. My mother had some decorations, I can't remember what, hanging on the fence, and this thing seemed to be looking at him. The dog barked, did not startle the creature whatsoever.
Didn't even budge.
It just kept on walking.
Yeah.
I was absolutely astonished by what I was seeing. If not for the fact that the dog was seeing it too, I would have wondered if my eyes or my brain was playing a trick on me. I decided to be brave and opened up the screen door, just enough to stick my head outside. That's when the thing looked at me, met my gaze. I just stood there, half afraid of its reaction, and if it was its next move would be curious than anything. My heart was racing. I held my son up to look at it also, still indoors. After it looked at me, and yet somehow no fear, I had more time to study it. I was racking my brain to try to identify what I was seeing. Here's the best description I can give you.
All right.
It was between 4 and 6 foot tall, walking on two legs, covered head to toe in long white hair. Its face was mostly covered in hair as well, except for its eyes and maybe a bit of its mouth. It did not have a snout like a dog. Its shape and build was very human. I even compare it to a bear in the head, but there was not enough similarities. The thing was not very animalistic in behavior. The way it walked and looked at me was more typical of human behavior. Yet the way it wandered and seemed oblivious to man-made things around it, cars, trailers, and even the fence, was more the characteristics of an animal. I did not get the feeling of aggressive or wanting to hurt me. Yet, because of its size and animalistic nature, I knew it was strong enough to hurt me, my son, and the dog. It began to walk around the side of the garage, out of sight, but closer to the end of the trailer where the bedroom where my mom was napping in. I ran down into the bedroom and began frantically looking out the window, searching for where it had gone. I woke up my mother, and she was in a tizzy, and we quickly told her what we had seen and what I wanted her to look for. She was still half asleep in the slow process of what I was saying. I did not see where the thing had went. I could not locate it through the window and was much too afraid to go outside and look for it. So there you go.
So 4 to 6 foot tall.
Not huge.
No, as far as stood out to me.
Bigfoot stuff goes. I mean, still a massive thing.
Yeah.
But not huge for Bigfoot.
No. Not at all. I mean, below average.
Yeah. I mean,
for sure.
It's that weird size we don't hear a lot about.
No, like human some size.
Stuff like Jake talks about with the little foot or little foot like things.
Yeah.
And, you know, babies, what might be baby Bigfoot. And then 7 foot is really when you really start seeing them.
Yeah.
So 4 to 6 foot would be, I'm going to guess, a very guarded age where they may not be with mom and dad all the, if it's a Bigfoot.
Right.
They may not be with mom and dad the whole time, but they have, you know, they're probably staying back in home base, wherever home base is.
Just not out and about to be very caught odd, or being seen odd. That often, because out of all the reports, you don't get too many of their, like, exact size of us, or just an average person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't. It's
height wise.
Yeah, you don't really get a Bigfoot. You look in the eyes.
Yeah, there you go.
It's very odd. But yeah, what do you think about the way it was meandering? She's like, the way she's describing it. You've been around bears, but everybody hasn't. The way she's describing it is very much like a bear.
Bear-like behavior.
They'll come wandering in. They don't. You know, they're just looking around. They're looking at weird things. They're sniffing stuff, touching stuff.
Say if it even was even bothered that she was there.
Yeah, it's a bear. Like, I'm not saying this is a bear. No. Bear-like behaviors.
Right, yeah.
Where dogs will bark at him and stuff, like around Gatlinburg, and they'll just look, and they'll be like, whatever.
Yeah.
You're not going to come over here.
Right, yeah.
You know, they'll mess with the decorations on porches. Yeah. And then it looked at her and her son, and this weird feeling of, like, I didn't feel like it was out to hurt me or get us, but I knew it could, which is, you know, kind of rare for these situations, especially with kids. But they seen it from way off before they went inside. So I don't know if it seen her and the kid and was just coming to check out, like, what was going on. But middle of the day, too.
Yeah, and then and being the white Bigfoot on top of it is extra weird.
Well, like I said, we're going to talk about albino behaviors. May not be. Oh. Maybe a reason we don't see a lot of them being huge monsters.
Ew.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to Alabama.
Alabama man.
Oh, Alabama man thing.
Alabama man thing.
So before we move on, we're going to go ahead and do our ad break. Are you ready?
Yes.
In honor of where we're going this weekend, we'll do this one. Suey! I got me this hot, fresh squonk steak, but man, it tastes bad. Jay, you got anything to fix this up?
I think you need some seasoning on that squonk fixer up.
Well, what do you got?
How about you try this right here? It's called Bigfoot Breath. Raw garlic seasoning made from fresh garlic.
Give me that. Well, it did make it taste a lot better. Jeez.
Brought that squonk right alive, didn't it?
You know, I'm going to have to kill more squonks to use more of this seasoning.
Oh, how about you try this instead? How about you try my spicy garlic seasoning?
Oh, give it here. Suey! That's good stuff.
Spicy, but not too spicy.
That's perfect. Where can you get these delicacies?
Oh, you can find these on flavorsforest.com. This is our newest spice that just been created. And it's from Flavors of the Forest.
Make sure you all get some at the links down below. We'll catch you. Suey! Oh. And by the way, there's a discount code after you even click our link, which is at checkout. You do what?
Hit the promo, type in the promo code CORN. I'm trying to mix all these words together in my head before I even say them. So promo code CORN, and that, what's that, give you 10 or 15% off?
15% off your whole purchase.
All right.
So not only are you helping us out, you're also getting a good discount.
Absolutely.
So make sure you hit our link below the episode, and then type in CORN.
Promo code CORN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ready for more white Bigfoot?
Yes.
Which is on the bottle for the Lion's Mane episode, or Lion's Mane Flavors of the Forest.
Oh, it is a Bigfoot one.
It's a white Bigfoot.
Or a white Bigfoot one.
Not a Yeti, white Bigfoot.
That's right. Big difference. Big difference.
There is. From the state of Alabama, reports of the Alabama Bigfoot Society, which allegedly occurred in 2013 in the area of, Blott County, in central northern Alabama. The account was given to the son of a woman who had purchased a new home in the wooden portion of the area where she moved her and her family. One day, the family was out cleaning and doing yard work when the woman's son came up running, saying that he had seen a giant creature out in the ditch out back. The report goes as this. At first, he thought it was a large man with a white hood over his head, and severely frightened the young boy. They all went out to the house to see if somebody who intended to do harm. But the creature was well gone by the time they got there. The son now says the creature was in the ditch and that he and the thing caught each other's attention about the same time. They made eye contact for a few moments. He says it looked at each other in the eye to eye, but then made no sound nor made any threatening motion towards him. It simply just walked slowly off into the dense forest. Mm. It walked away, and he could tell it was covered entirely with long, solid white fur. The long hair fell over its face, and he could make out no other features than its eyes. He told where the creature stood and how far up the head, according to the brushes around it and the trees. They estimated this to be well over 9 feet tall.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is one of the only times there had been seen what they say is an albino Sasquatch. So the Alabama white thing has been seen all over for decades.
So they thought it was a Klan's member at first, huh?
I mean, yes.
That's what he was implying. He said a guy in a white hood. Yeah. And they're checking to make sure he's not to do any harm.
Yeah.
And then you get out there and it's a 9 foot tall Bigfoot.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, right? That's what I was thinking.
A Klansman.
Oh, okay, we're good, yeah.
Yeah, all right, Bigfoot, have a good day.
A Klansman in Alabama.
But yeah, no, I mean, didn't threaten, like, what's that thing where we talk about, you know, Bigfoot's probably not your friendly forest giant, but they're not out to get you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Because they could grab kids and stuff pretty easy.
Well, yeah, very easily. I mean, especially if they wanted to be noticed.
Yeah.
Probably even easier.
But like, you just looked at the kid, like, all right, I'm going to have to leave now.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times they're the ones leaving the scene first.
Well, yeah.
Very few times is Bigfoot standing on the ground, and almost always it's protecting another Bigfoot or something similar.
And most of that time, you don't even see them when they're doing that. It's more like psychological.
Or you turn around because you were going to shoot that female Bigfoot. You turn around and there's that 10-foot-tall giant standing right below your shoulders.
Yeah, breathing down your neck.
Which has happened. If you listen to Sasquatch Chronicles, it does. I'll say probably at least a dozen episodes.
Yeah.
He's done over 1,000, but like a dozen of those kind of things where
right.
They had a Bigfoot in the sights and they're like, oh, I'm not going to shoot it. And they turn around and then there's just the Mountain King is behind them.
Right, yeah.
Like, yeah, you weren't going to shoot it, but he was going to let you make the choice.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's very interesting. I don't know. The Alabama white thing has a long history of stuff. We may do its own whole episode because there's literally hundreds of reports of that one.
Okay.
Any questions about that?
No questions.
Any thoughts?
Just I'm glad it wasn't a Klan's member.
You ever been to Mahoning County, Ohio?
Mahoning?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. That's where our next one comes from.
Well, let me look it up real fast while you're reading this.
Mahoning. Another report from 2013 comes from Mahoning County, Ohio. There's a report in Cryptozoology News. The witness claims that he was getting his hunting gear out of his truck when he spotted a 4-foot-tall ape-like creature with striking white hair, which he says ran away and tried to track it in the scope of his rifle. He says this about the creature. There was a white, fuzzy thing standing on two legs. It looked at me. It fled. Couldn't wrap my head around what the heck I was seeing. My hands kept shaking. I didn't feel right putting my rifle up at something I didn't understand. I would get about 40 yards or so. It would back up, then flee, then pop its head out for the third time. I got weird feelings of like cat and mouse vibes. The animals don't act like that. It was almost like it was playing with me. I felt it was going to lure me to something, though. With that creature was still in my sights, I turned and I went home. So this is a really, really weird one.
Yeah.
So he's out. He's literally at the truck out on his hunting property. He's pulling the hunting gear out of the bed of the truck. He sees this thing run out. 4 foot tall, white, fuzzy.
Yeah.
You know, and then it runs away, hides, pops back up. You know, he's following it. You know, he was going to point his rifle at it just to use the scope to keep an eye on it.
To look at it, yeah.
But he put it down because he felt like, I don't know what I'm looking at. Like,
yeah, felt wrong.
I don't know if this is a guy or a kid, you know.
You don't want to point a barrel at it just in case.
You know, and we're taught, especially in Ohio, that you don't point a gun at anything you don't intend to kill.
Absolutely.
So I get that vibe where he's like, it's weird. But it's like playing with him. He's like, cat and mouse, it's luring me. Then by the time he did it the third time, he's like, wait a second.
Something's wrong here.
I'm worried this thing's leading me somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So he got in his truck and left.
And Mahoning County is Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah.
So east of Akron.
Yeah, it's up by, I think the Chagrin River.
Oh, there you go. I think that's Mahoning. Much to my chagrin, you're correct.
Yeah. Anyways, so just interesting. So what is this, perhaps a juvenile albino Bigfoot in 2004?
Well, oh, I was just going to say, I wonder if it's the albino version of like the things Jake saw.
Could be.
Yeah. Or
could
be. Oh, okay.
No, just could be.
Oh, okay.
It's perhaps a juvenile, albino Bigfoot. In 2014, there was a rather bizarre report in the state of Kansas from the Christian County Headliner News. In March of that year, a woman was driving along with her daughter on Highway 61 in Mock Parison County when they saw something they could not explain. Here's how the report reads. There was a farmer tilling a field on the right side of the highway, possibly trying to create a barrier to stop brush fires that were burning out over control in that area at that time. The area was under an open burning ban at the time. Suddenly, a large bipedal creature covered in white hair ran out of the road in the direction of the fire, possibly to get out of its path. The daughter screamed, and the driver was caught a glimpse of a Bigfoot as it passed. So close, the body filled the entire window. She estimated it was easily over 8 foot tall, with hair that was spiked like it was treated with gel. She was a cosmetologist. That's what you say, right?
Yeah.
A hair person. Yep. One impressive feature was its large black eyes, which stood out amid the size and the contrast with the white hair of the face. It was actually on all fours when it was first seen, then stood up and ran several steps in the erect position, and finally returned to the previous quadrupedal locomotion as it crossed the ditch and disappeared into darkness.
Interesting. So it was on all fours, and then it kind of ran off on twos and then went back down to fours?
Yeah.
Okay.
White, spiky hair. Well, it's running from a forest fire.
Yeah.
So those farmers tilling, which they were doing out here at the time, they would like till big swaths of their field up to prevent burning material.
Right. So the fire can't spread. Yeah.
So I don't know if this was because the fire pushed this thing out during the middle of the day over a highway, you know, actively crossing a highway.
You're right.
It could very well be that between the fire and the people out there trying to stop the fires and stuff like that, it just ran out of space.
Right. I had nowhere to go.
Yeah, so cornered. It's like time to move.
Yeah.
And almost got hit by a car. It's very rare for them to like get, like they pass in front behind vehicles a lot.
Yeah.
To be almost hit by a car, you know, like we talk about a lot of times, they're not dumb.
Right, exactly. Could have been stressed, I don't know.
But literally, there's fire.
Didn't check both ways. Maybe it wasn't white and...
It could have been running from people.
But it could have been that, and maybe it wasn't. What do you say? It was white and...
Spiky hair.
Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was burnt hair and that was smoke. It was singed. Like, it's still actively smoking.
What do you mean?
Like, his fur's on fire. It's not white. It's smoke, because it's still... His hair is actually burning.
I don't know if there's a lot of white smoke.
And he's running away. Well, I mean, smoke's not black or... Well, some smoke is. But, yeah, white smoke, yeah.
Okay.
Like gray.
Interesting.
I mean, that could be white.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's running away. He's still on fire.
Okay.
Poor guy.
Last one I have for you was Lynchfield, Maine, where construction workers claim to have seen a white Bigfoot on Christmas Eve when he was walking his dog. That day, he described it as it being a bit foggy day. Suddenly, his dog began to get agitated for no apparent reason, which was right about when the beast made its appearance. The witness would say this of his encounter. It moved fast like a human. It was fat, huge, and had white, long hair everywhere. It looked like a white Bigfoot or something like that. No kidding. I never thought I'd see anything like that in my life. I've always laughed at all these Bigfoot nuts. I had my reasons. Now I guess I'm the crazy one here. Unless it was a very, very good hoax played on me. And that could be, but I tell you again, it ain't easy for a man to make those kinds of moves, especially in a Bigfoot fat suit. It just didn't look like a human to me. So he said this Bigfoot had a real big belly.
Yeah.
But his white fur, he's saying Santa Bigfoot.
Santa Bigfoot. No, it's just Santa during the off years.
They have their own Santa.
Well, you didn't know that.
It's Christmas Eve.
Okay, that's more fun.
It was Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
This is Bigfoot's Santa.
Yes, that makes more. That's more fun.
And the little ones are his elves.
I was just going to say, no, that's more fun. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it.
See, I'm better.
Yeah.
I'm better than you.
Well, in this case.
All right. So before we get into why white Bigfoots.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Clare County, Michigan. I can't believe you don't remember this. Our second conference we ever did was the Michigan Bigfoot Conference. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was a lot of fun when we had it.
Yeah.
First time we ever met Lyle and Russell Accord and, you know, Val Vizak.
Yep.
You know, Accord, some really, you know, integral people in the Bigfoot community.
Right, yeah.
And Josh Parsons.
Josh Parsons was leading, was ahead of it.
Yeah, and his dad, you know, his dad is a really, really famous Bigfooter down south.
Texas.
Yeah. But so, just amazing people. And Eric, that's kind of, second time we ever got to hang out with Eric because we...
Yeah, first
Ohio
time
Bigfoot conference. Yeah, and then we did Michigan Bigfoot conference. Anyways, so a lady came up and she was told us her Bigfoot experience, and she said she was driving down this S road, and she seen it was not winter, and she had seen what looked like a snowdrift stand up in the ditch of the road and run across to a creek, and I was asking her where she had seen it, and she said Clare County, Michigan. For everybody that doesn't know, Patreon members know, that's where our cabin is.
It's where we took some Patreon members' ice session.
Yeah, we're about to put sign-ups if anybody wants to join, but you got to get on Patreon first.
Yep.
Anyways, so I asked her what road is our road the cabin's on.
Wow.
So she had seen a white Bigfoot about 2 miles from the cabin.
Wow.
I know they asked her, remember when we were going fishing, is that real steep one with that little tiny town?
I think I remember.
Right where the laundromat and all that stuff is. Lake George for anybody that's local. Like, they'll know where it is. So I looked into it. There are dozens of reports of a white Bigfoot in Clare County.
Wow.
Specifically in that area, there are dozens and dozens of reports.
Any particular time of year?
No, it's really weird. I think it's a local. I don't know. And we'll talk about why white here in a minute. I don't know if it's old or if it's like if there's something wrong with it or, you know. But it's seen often, never in the dead of summer, but in summertime, like May and, you know, maybe the September. That's hers was September, which is, you know, that summer-fall transition.
Right, yeah.
Where it's not fall, but it's not like...
It's not winter, winter.
It's not summer either.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad. That's what I meant.
Yeah. It's definitely not winter, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure.
September, at least in Ohio, is just...
Well, some days it might be.
But it also can be our hottest week is that first week of September.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so... There was just tons of them. And everything, most of the time they're seen from cars. There was a couple people that were deer hunting. They had seen what they thought a guy in a white tarp was running around the back of their field because they were hunting on this side of the property. And they thought it was a guy trying to hide from them under a white tarp.
Oh.
And he stood up and ran away. And they, when they seen it, it was a Bigfoot, a white Bigfoot running like past them.
Okay.
So these white Bigfoot are like laying down. A lot of times when they're seeing it, like the lady that told us about her encounter, thought it was a snowdrift in the middle of, you know, of summer.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like, and she's like, it looked just like a snowdrift, but it stood up and ran away. So it makes me think speculatively if other Bigfoots, normal colored Bigfoots, are laying down and letting you go right past them all the time, and we never know.
Mm.
And it's just the white ones that are like, the trick's not working.
Right, yeah.
How many... Bigfoots in ditches have we driven past because they're brown or, you know, they're grass colored.
And we just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
who
it's
knows?
A Clare County mystery. So as part of the Patreon trip this year, I think we're going to take an extra day and actually
research the Clare County mystery.
We're going to go out and look for the white Bigfoot of Clare County.
Oh, this winter, huh?
Yep.
Let's do it.
I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to do it.
I'm on board.
Yeah. Looking for a white Bigfoot, the dead of winter.
I'm on board. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, I think it'd be easier to find a black Bigfoot or a brown Bigfoot.
Well.
Which they are. They're there. But Clare County has a lot of Bigfoot sightings. But it's just really weird to have this, like, so much. It's not my home, but, you know, it's been in my family for 3 generations now, that cabin. So just weird to have one, like, and she's describing it, it's the same road the cabin's on. It's also the same road as the Farwell murders.
And we saw that last when we went ice fishing. Yeah.
Yeah. Peyton and Bailey got to see the cabin of the Farwell murders.
The Farwell murders. Well, what was I going to say? Shoot, I don't remember. I had a thought until you had that. That was funny. Farwell. I forgot we saw the Farwell house.
Yeah. The Farwell murders. Yeah. The Farwell murder house.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It was a horrible murder.
Yeah.
So let's talk about why white.
Okay. Let's get to it. Why?
The first one, you've said it, and I said it several times using different pieces of articles.
Albino?
Albinism.
Albinism.
And leucism.
Leucism.
Which is leucistic or albino.
Oh.
We're going to talk about the differences between leucistic and albino.
Okay.
There is big differences, but the main one people see is white.
Okay.
It's the lack of pigment, which turns animals white.
Right.
Albinism is the complete lack of... Let me pull it up. Albinism is when an animal or an individual member of a species inherits the mutated genes from both parents that interfere with their body's ability to produce melanin. The most obvious trait among this is albinism, is pale white skin, hair, plumage, fur, scales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but depending on the animal, they're jet white.
Right, the whole outside.
Say jet black, you know, so jet white. But no, they're very, very white. And that can change, like alligators that are born with albinism end up being green. Because algae likes to grow on their white skin.
Okay.
So they'll get a green hue very quickly. When's in captivity, they actually clean them with, like, toothbrushes.
And then
they'll keep them white.
Keep them, yeah.
Yeah, but they can, you know, it just depends. So you turn white, you know, whatever. The same mutation can affect skin and also affects blood vessel pigments in the eyes, making their eyes appear red or pink. And areas with high vascular, you know, natures may also appear very pink. So thinking back to some of our Bigfoot encounters with the pink faces.
Yeah.
So they have, normally their skin would be white on the face if they're albino. But what could be occurring if they have a very vascular face, it's the actual blood
just
behind the white skin that causes them to look pink.
Because we don't know if too.
We don't know.
If they might have be more vascular in their face.
They may be very vascular in their face. There's that thought that their language is very much broken up to facial features.
Oh, wow.
So they may have many more muscles in their face than we do.
Yeah, there we go. It could be that.
So they may be, you know, if they're truly albino, that may be why some of these encounters talk about a pink face.
Yeah.
And some of them still talk about a white face.
And if they use a lot of, like, you know, muscles, it could be a high, like, muscly, dense, which you don't think about with your face having like a lot of muscles in it, but they could be jacked.
Our lower part of our face has a lot of muscles in it.
Right, yeah, like your jaw.
They may have a lot of up. You know, they're talking with their face.
Yeah,
is that, you know, body language mixed in with verbal stuff and scent. You know, they may have a much more complex language we can't really recognize.
I might have that face swole working out in the gym.
This inherited genetic traits are all recessive and must be inherited from both parents. We don't necessarily have albinism themselves as expressed traits, but they carry the traits for it. So that's when we were talking about why it'd be really, really weird to see a mom. She is definitely carrying the trait if she's, you know, albino.
Right.
But pass it, because that means dad. That could be inbreeding, though, if, you know, it's a trait in there. That's technically how we get it in reptiles in captivity.
They have to inbreed?
Not like right now, but it was to get that trait refined down enough. Yes, it was inbred.
Mm-hmm.
The obstacle for these animals to overcome and survival wide is albinism. They have much worse odds. No, doesn't matter what the species is. The loss of this pigment makes it difficult to camouflage and avoid predators.
Yep.
It also makes it very difficult to hunt food. And what is often associated with albinism is reduced vision.
Oh.
Almost every animal that's albino has poor eyesight or poorer eyesight for their species.
Really?
This condition also makes it the eyes more sensitive to ultraviolet lights.
Okay, that I believe. That makes sense.
So that can make them go blind at much younger ages.
Is that the same thing for humans too?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Unfortunately, so that's one thing we always talk about with axolotls, when we had leucistic axolotls and albino axolotls, is don't put them in tanks with UV lights because you'll make your axolotls go blind.
Okay.
Very fast.
Okay.
And people did it still. And anyways. So let's talk about that. Another trait that comes with this, if we see albinos that survive past their first couple years of life in mammals, is they become quite more aggressive than their normal colored counterparts.
Okay.
From whales to buffalo to bears.
Okay.
When we talk about black bears being albino, which there are several that exist in nature right now, they are actually much more aggressive. They're actually very dangerous to be around in general.
Yeah.
Because to survive, they had to change some behaviors.
And, well, they were probably being targeted more often.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. They get targeted by predators more often. They get targeted by each other more often.
Well, it's a big white target out there.
So they become, they outreach and become much more aggressive animals.
All right. So they're hardened by nature.
And they change their behaviors. So when animals may be more nocturnal, they may start becoming more diurnal.
Yeah.
So some of these white Bigfoots walking during the day, they get much more, they become much more outly aggressive or not caring.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, because they can't hardly see.
And that's the other thing.
Yeah.
When they're looking at these people all weird and stuff like that, they may be partially blind.
Like trying to focus on
them? They can't really see them.
Yeah, like, huh.
That may be why they were looking at the fence and kind of looking at the lady in the house and kind of, you know.
Like, is she really there? Is
like, well, depth perception could be a bit, you know, really affected. It's very, you know, very rare for these animals to live long. Like, Moby Dick may have been based off a real sperm whale that was albino because they become much more aggressive. So when normal sperm whales wouldn't normally attack whole wooden ships to aggressive levels.
An albino one might.
Yes. Very odd. You know, so that's all that stuff with albinoism. So like I said, the behaviors change dramatically. You can go from very peaceful animals like black bears to having very aggressive behaviors.
Huh.
So that could be the same, you know, similar things with like the Alabama white thing is known to be very aggressive.
Aggressive, yeah. Well, that makes sense then.
These things banging on the windows and, you know, it's just odd. Leucism, which is leucistic.
Okay, yes.
Animals with white color are often mistaken for having albinism, but they're also they are leucistic. Leucism is a reduction in all types of pigment, not just melanin.
Okay.
So albinism just affects melanin. Leucism affects all types of pigment.
So when things are born and they're piebald, which one would that be fall under?
It's not either.
Well, I know it's a mix of like regular and white, but the white version, is that from?
It's a lack of pigment in certain parts of the body.
Yeah.
So it's not albinism. It's a piebald.
Right.
It's its own genetic condition.
So is it like half albino or?
I guess.
Or
but it's
half leucistic?
It'd be probably leucistic more than anything.
Okay.
But it's not either.
Right, right, right. It's, it's a blend condition. Of like, yeah.
They're not related.
Right. No, I know.
Okay.
I just know they're white. They got those white patches. Yeah. I guess what's responsible with those white patches?
A different genetic disorder.
Okay.
These are all genetic disorders.
Okay. Fair enough.
So the animal with leucistic may either have pale or muted colors or regular patches of white. Like albinism, leucism is inherited through severe, propitioning of mutated colors, may also be between parents and offspring or even skip generations.
Mm-hmm.
So this one points to more of how you can get parents giving birth to kids with the same conditions.
Gotcha.
And the big thing is they keep their eye color.
Ah, I like that very first one.
They can keep their eye color.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does affect the eyes, but it's not like albinism where it's always not going to have any eye color.
Yeah.
But most time they have dark colored eyes rather than the red or pink of albinism.
Mm.
Leucistic birds, for example, are completely white or patchy white. But they can still have melanin in their system. So you can still see their patterns outlined in their
mm-hmm.
body.
Mm-hmm.
So where they would be with if albino, there's no pattern. It's just flat white color.
Right.
If let's say a peacock is leucistic, which are our ones, you still have the big colory patterns on their feathers. So yeah, they're both extremely rare. We'll talk about that. Albinoism, depending on the species, can be anywhere from 1 to 20,000 to 1 to a million.
Mm.
To survive to adulthood... It can be 1 to 20 million.
Ooh, even worse.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not great. With leucism having very similar birth rates, unless it's a population where the gene becomes hardy in it.
Okay.
But, yeah. Any questions about either of those?
What did you mean by that, where it becomes hardy and then, like...
If it's either becomes, like, successful or dad or mom is really successful in it,
oh,
you can start seeing leucism
get passed along
much
more
quicker.
Yeah.
And you can have populations that have a lot of white, like deer, for example.
Right. Which we've seen that around here.
Yeah, they're starting to come out more.
Yeah.
And it may be because there may be a dad that's carrying the trait that's really awesome at either keeping territory, running does. So it's becoming more and more prevalent.
Gotcha.
So it's not because he's white. He may not even be white himself.
Right.
It may be because he's doing so well that it can pop up in a genetic population.
Gotcha.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Albinism can do that also, but it's much more rare for that
right.
to happen.
Right, yeah.
Any questions about either of those two?
Uh-uh.
Let's talk about them for Bigfoot. So albinism in Bigfoot would, you know, be the red eyes and
yeah,
that stuff. And they can't have stunted growth and stuff like that. So that might be why we're seeing them at the more 4 to 6 foot range.
Mm.
They may be adults. And they may be outwardly aggressive or awkward because they're partially blind. But it's really rare. I don't think there's that many Bigfoot.
Right.
You know, so, we talk about our number. My belief in the North America is somewhere between 20 and 25,000 for the continent.
Okay.
Kind of what I believe. You know, we talk about it in our live shows and stuff like that, kind of where we get those numbers from. And there's population densities. You know, some areas have a lot more Bigfoot, some areas have little Bigfoot. Like,
right.
A little number of Bigfoot. Like, I think there probably is Bigfoot in the desert. I don't think there's 10,000 of them out there.
Right. Yeah.
So for this to occur and we see this many of them around, that's weird to me for it to be an albino thing. And pretty much the same thing with leucistic, but with the red eyes. The only exception to that is in animals like primates that take care of each other, that number of survivability goes way up.
Right, yep.
As long as they don't shun them for certain, you know, for any reasons, just because the baby comes out weird.
Right, yeah.
Which, yeah, I think they're fairly intelligent enough to not do that. So they may get skipped over the danger years of being white. Once you're 6 foot tall out in the woods of North America,
you're pretty relatively safe.
Very few things. A very cocky mountain lion, wolves,
ain't gonna take on a Bigfoot.
I'm saying those are the things that a 6 foot tall Bigfoot by itself
right.
could still pose danger. But where do I read all these areas? You know, besides Maine, there's not really a lot of wolves in a lot of these areas.
Right.
You know, it was Pennsylvania, it was Ohio, it was Alabama. You know, it was where the areas where we've wiped out most big predators.
Okay.
So that may be another reason why they're surviving into adulthood.
Oh, it's just, it has that niche with no natural big predator to.
We don't see a lot of them out up right. north. There were some in Michigan and there were some in.
So the danger of being albino or leucistic isn't
goes
as,
way down for these type of animals.
So survivability rate among them, odds are be way up.
And the weird behaviors could be because they're partially blind.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean.
They have muted senses. They're partially blind.
Uh-huh.
And they also could be a little bit more aggressive. And that could, for us, to being cocky. You know, where they come out in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
They're white and they're being seen during the day, which is just even a rare thing for a Bigfoot to be seen during the day.
Absolutely.
Let alone meandering while you're out there. While he came over the hill and stuff like that, he could have thought the farmhouse was empty or that the grandma normally slept during that time.
Yeah.
So he knew he could go in there and get stuff. And he may not have realized there was people there until he was right there. And that dog probably barks at him every time he goes.
Yeah.
Just doesn't care. It's just weird, you know. So there are things that make sense and are things that don't make sense with it being a leucistic or albino.
Right, yeah.
So some of them that have the dark eyes, leucistic. The pink eyes, albino.
Albino, right.
What do you think of those two things? Yay or nay?
Well, I'm with you. It all makes sense to me. And it explains both accounts, like we just said.
So, but the only thing I'm against it with, my real big one for me personally, is the genetic chance.
Right.
It's recessive traits, both of them.
It's so rare.
For it to match up and produce, it's in big populations, it's very rare.
Right.
Like, I think there's 5 or 6 fully albino alligators get produced by farms every couple of years, and we produce, you know, 500,000 alligators every year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's rare, right? It's really, really rare.
Right.
This next one makes more sense to me, personally, as coming from biology and stuff like that. Color morphs.
Okay.
So what is color polymorphism?
Ooh, I think I know this, but go ahead.
Go ahead. You know, give a guess. Well,
I was going to use the jaguars, for example.
Yes, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Color polymorphism refers to the occurrence of multiple distinct color phenotypes within populations. They result directly in genetic variations.
So being born with two completely separate colors.
Two or more.
Or more, yeah.
There's some of these species we're going to talk about have hundreds.
Ooh.
Direct genetic casually distinguishes them of color polymorphism from polycolor morphism, whereby identical genotypes possess the ability to express varied phenotypes depending on their environment. We've talked about this before in genotypes versus phenotypes.
Right.
Where genetically they're the same species.
Yes.
But phenotypically, they express traits, they look very different. They can be different sizes. They can be different colors. You mm-hmm. know, wide variety. So it's not uncommon. It's rarer in mammals. If you think Bigfoot's a mammal, it does get rarer the higher up as far as evolutionary you're talking about. But things like spiders, let's see, I got Trunton Galler. has 12 different color morphs in Ohio.
Oh, dang. Just in Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a little spider. It's the skull spiders that you see.
Okay.
They have 12 different color morphs in Ohio.
Huh.
Where they thought there were 12 different species, and they did genetics on them. They're the exact same animal. They interbreed each other constantly. They just use it for different things. Strawberry poison dart frogs have at least 20 different color morphs. There's the really popular one where they're red. Well, they go from everything from having yellow spots and red, like blue spots. Where he does it every episode.
I didn't even touch it.
It doesn't matter.
It was on the table.
You put it on. You lean them on the edge.
It was under my hat.
Don't yell. Don't yell at me. But anyways, these strawberry frogs, where they are yellow with black spots and red with blue bellies, are the same species. They both can be males. They can both be females.
Right.
They just have so many color morphs in them that there could be a chance that this Bigfoot we're being seen is a color morph. And maybe the rarest are the color morphs, but every once in a while they kick out a white one. Hmm. And this makes a lot more sense to me personally, because we have brown, black, red, sometimes even that gray and green colored Bigfoots.
Those are all in between that spectrum.
Yeah. So it would make sense if they have a wide variety of color morphs, that white would be thrown in there every once in a while. Especially if like they're in family groups and stuff like that. It's just like a thing that they happen. Genetically, they're all the same. There's no disorder with them.
Right.
They're just, or some of them are white.
Right. Just has that. It's like blonde-haired kids, you know, brown-haired kids.
A really rare morph. So this happens in, like I said, amphibians and vertebrates and mammals and birds, to where there is a black one born just randomly.
Right.
It's not melanism, which is a genetic disorder, like the opposite of albinism.
Yeah.
But there can be just black ones born, where like, let's say the conventional animal's green or light colored.
Right.
And then there's just, every once in a while, there's a dark morph born, a light colored morph born.
Would that just mean they have like that in their genetics? Like,
yeah.
Okay, so it's...
It'd be one of, let's say there's 8 colors that a Bigfoot can be born. The black, the red, and the brown occupy 85% of the chance wheel.
And we're just talking about hair color.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
They occupy 80% of the chance wheel.
Okay.
And your gray, your white, and your couple of the other smaller rare colors, even patterned colors.
Right.
There's a couple stories of Bigfoots having patterns. Maybe that other 12% that's left.
Right, yep.
So you spin the wheel... essentially genetic wheel, and that, you know, most of the time it's going to be black, brown, red.
Right. It's like spinning the genetic Punnett square wheel.
Yeah, there you go. So there's always a chance of that. And why species do this, depending on the species, most predators that do this, whether it's insects, fish, reptiles, or mammals, do it so they don't co-hunt.
Right.
So they can hunt at different times the day or, you know, life. Frogs do this. We don't know really why right now, why like strawberry frog has such a big genetic phenotype pool.
I bet you it's just for genetic, like to spread out their genetics.
Genetic diversity is a thought.
Right. So they can identify like different, you know, you're not seeing this red ones everywhere, like for the frogs example.
Yeah.
That's just speculation.
So what do you think about this one?
Very much so. Very much so, like an opportunity. Do humans have that at all? Like,
yeah, well, I mean, think about it. I have 3 kids in there.
Right.
One of my girls is a twin.
Right.
He's very
dark.
And Atlas and Willow are very light colored.
Very, like, very blonde pale. Hair.
They're all 3 Caucasian.
Yeah. I guess I was thinking more just sticking with hair color.
Yeah. I mean, Look at it. We have brown hair. We have
red. But every now and then, a white one. Does white one get spit out every now and then?
In humans, there can be very light colored. I don't know if it's ever happened in humans.
Yeah, at least where it sticks.
White.
When I was born, I had pretty much white hair.
That's because you didn't.
It was like
the pigments were very light.
Almost white. It was weird.
There's bleach blonde, which would probably be about as close. And I think that may be happening for these Bigfoot, as they have a straight, little light yellow tint, like eggshell white. It's not really white.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, but as far as you're driving down, you look over, it's white.
Super light blonde. Yeah.
It's white. But almost like dirty snow colored. Or it's still white, but it's got some, you know. I think that's probably what if this is what's happening.
Like white's the closest color you can compare it to. You wouldn't say, oh, that, you know, that's like a mild, low intense, high value yellow.
Whipped cream.
Yeah, there you go.
So what do you think about this one?
No, I like it. What's it called? Not
the official word?
Yeah.
Let me get it pulled back up.
Color
polymorphism.
Polymorphism.
Which is just, you know, polymorphs.
Right. I'm just going to.
Color polymorph.
I'm going to try to use that word in my everyday vernacular.
Good luck with that.
I'll sneak it in. I'll find a way.
Another big reason for this is mimicry, they think, for polymorphism. That, and we may not even know what they're mimicking.
Gosh.
Whether it's each other or different
species.
Well,
that's scary. If they're mimicking something else.
Well, it's like the tiger thing. You know, tigers have eye spots in the back of their ears.
Yeah.
So their predators think they're watching them.
Right, yeah.
And what the heck's out there eating tigers?
Yeah, exactly.
Gigantopithecus.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's another one for you. Seasonal coats.
Oh, okay.
Several mammals and birds change their color periodically through the year to match changing environments. Most white Bigfoots are seen in areas with snow, with a few exceptions from like the Alabama white thing. There's very, very few reports, as far as I could find, of Bigfoots in Southern California, Uinta, you know, these areas, Texas. Alabama's like the one, and they get snow every once in a great while, but a lot of the white Bigfoots occur where snow occurs. Like I said, some of these white Bigfoots are not seen when it is snowing.
Or at all.
At all.
Middle of summer.
But it is interesting enough that a lot of them do occur in snowfall areas. So I just had a list of stuff to tell you, like animals that do change their color to blend in instead of migrate or move around.
Okay.
Weasels are really famous for it.
Oh.
They change up to 80% of their diet during winter months.
Wow.
So their body, that's they think is the trigger. When their diet starts changing, their body will drop all of its brown or black fur and go to white.
Switch, okay.
Arctic foxes can be anything from, you know, red and brown and gray. And they'll switch to a whole white coat with their dark under fur still being there. So what they do is they actually grow a white, thick winter coat around their fur.
Oh, okay. That's kind of odd.
Well, it makes sense because a lot of animals grow a winter coat.
Right, but
they grow thicker hair seasonally and they drop it for the summer.
Right, but to have it a specific color is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Snowshoe hares are hares in general. The ones at our cabin, they are brown during the summer and white during the winter.
Really?
Yeah, they change very fast.
Do fur-bearing trout change as well?
Yes. Same.
Okay.
Partumagas, which are like they're a cousin of quail.
Okay.
They're a big, thick white bird. They are also called like Arctic quail or Arctic grouse, but they look like a super-sized quail that's white.
Oh, we should get them here.
But they change three times.
Huh.
They go from their brown summer coats to the transitional coat, which is brown and white mixed in, like where snow starts falling.
Yeah.
To full white.
Okay. Are those legal in Ohio?
I'm sure they're fine. Like, if you can find them.
Huh.
Russian dwarf hamsters.
Now, that just sounds awesome.
In prairie caribou.
That sounds cool, too.
They all change their coats seasonally. Huh. Big and small, mammals and birds. It happens really fast.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that's really what's going on here, but it was interesting enough that a lot of animals, including mammals, did it.
Yeah, I didn't.
And a lot of people think Bigfoot a mammal. I mean, I don't have no reason to believe Bigfoot's not a mammal, but
I didn't really know that, though. Bigfoot is. Like, the handful of animals did that.
A bunch of animals do it.
Yeah, I did not know that.
And not all of their species does it, either.
Oh.
So caribou, for example, that live in their southern range may not ever get their white coats.
Right.
Weasels, for example. The weasels here in Ohio, most of them don't turn white.
Right.
So it's a triggered thing. Like they said, a weasel's diet is what triggers the change.
Really based off their environment. Yeah.
Whether it's daylight, temperature, we don't know with some of these guys.
Huh.
But yeah, so it could be where one goes early, or there may be some genetic factor or food factor that changes their hair.
Right.
So they're stuck out, you know, they may change a month early or right. 2 months early.
It might not be like alien Bigfoot after all.
Which we're getting to. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying there's real biology reasons why
that Bigfoot could have been a brown Bigfoot a month ago.
Right, yeah. And that's never brought up too much about speculation when it comes to Bigfoot. Just those ideas like that, you know, in the Bigfoot world. It's they said I know I'm aware of.
No. I mean, I don't know. It's just most people don't know those animals exist.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a good comparison.
Like, so that grouse actually lives in northern Michigan, and a good part of their population doesn't do it.
Okay.
But they can. If you take one from northern Michigan the UP and take it to Alaska, they will turn white with the winter.
Right, yeah.
It's just something they have inside of them.
That's really cool.
All right, man. Next one. This is one I don't get behind a lot, but a lot of Bigfoot research have suggested it. Old age. They're just like us. They either go white or gray. And there are, like I said, there's a handful of gray Bigfoot sightings too.
Yeah.
My big problem with this is that a lot of the white Bigfoots are not big.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7 foot tall. You know, there was that one we talked about today, 9 foot tall. But a lot of the ones in Clare County that we're seeing are like that 6 to 7 foot tall range.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying they're young, but I'm not saying they're, but how many, to me, that really doesn't seem like an old man Bigfoot.
Well, let me try to convince you here. Well, you know, when you're older,
you start shrinking, I know.
An older human being. Yeah. I mean, imagine, you know, an older person, an older fella that, you know, in his heyday was like a big mountain monster, jack, you know, fit man. You know, now he's like 80 or 90, you know, just for the human scale, that's pretty dang old. You know, Bigfoot might age differently when they're on like their last, you know, what do you call that? Your last, like your glory years, your mm-hmm. last
golden few, years,
your last golden years. Maybe he's not as like shriveled and frail. It's just, you know, shrivels up a little bit, but he's still functional, still gets around fine, better than any of us ever could. So maybe it's just shriveled up a little bit.
So do you know, in humans, for example, we're going to use humans for this, why our hair turns white or gray?
Stress.
That is why my hair
stress
is gray.
Yes, stress.
I had beautiful brown hair.
Yeah, but how much cooler it's going to be if it's gray or white?
Well, it needs to just go.
It's going.
I know, but at this point, I'm like, I'm tired of the salt and pepper.
I'm pretty sure.
My dad can get the salt and pepper till he's 50.
I'm pretty sure if you, like, did shave your head once.
Oh, it, no, it's mostly would be gray.
Yeah, I think you're there. It's just there's so much there.
So let me get to, okay. So you know, most people start losing their hair color in their 40s and 30s. Wow. Late 30s into the 40s.
Okay.
Unless you dye it, you know, and that can actually cause your hair to go gray faster.
Like if you
start using commercial dyes and change your hair color a lot.
I thought you meant like what you eat, your diet.
No. If you dye your hair.
I knew
which
you
I
meant.
Think your diet probably could do it too.
Probably could, yeah.
So one big thing is old age. It's just something that happens in humans where the pigment starts to get weaker and weaker.
Yeah.
And goes gray or white. My uncle, though, he has white hair. I mean, real white hair.
Mm-hmm.
He had it happen to him when he was 22.
Wow.
And he had some uncles and stuff. And it's just, it was something generic in our family that every once in a while you get one.
Yeah.
It just goes white. And they're like, he was half white in high school. There's yearbook pictures of him.
Cool.
With like half white hair. And then you know, I'm more like my dad where I'm going gray, not
yeah.
white.
Yeah.
But it's just, so that can be an age thing or it could be a genetic thing.
I'm just,
where they just go white.
Mine just so falling out of my head.
It's a sign of dominance.
Yeah.
Where they get the white patch. It's not from age. It's from their non-dominant silverback gorillas will almost have no white patch on their hair.
Gotcha.
When they go dominant, it's a testosterone thing, and they'll actually get big white patches.
Nice.
So there could be something with that. The big one I point to for why we have so many little ones that are white, let's say this is it, it's stress.
Yeah.
It is maybe they are caught in these areas where they're cut off from other Bigfoot, they're cut off from food sources, they're scrounging through trash, breaking into farms, all this stuff. And they're really stressed out. They have this high level of, there's a chemical name for it, but they have a high level of this hormone mm-hmm. that causes your hair to go gray, and even lose hair. So I don't know. There's that.
I mean, that could be a thing. Again, always speculating because that's all we can do with Bigfoot. You know, it's sensitive if we think, you know, their hair, if they have the two layers of hair, you know, where they can move it, manipulate it.
Save that for a second.
Well, okay. But I mean, just for an example, their skin, their hair, and everything is very, I mean, imagine highly sensitive, you know, highly reactive. So if you're way stressed out.
I could see that, yeah.
And you can already, if it's already sensitive, just.
You could probably do it really fast.
Yeah, you could probably fry that system. And
so that's the only thing I could think of for, like, going gray.
Yeah.
Like us with age or stress.
Right, yeah.
Is it why they're little, though, and this is happening to them, if uh-huh. this is what's causing it?
I mean, it might.
Like I said, this is not my big one, but it's. It's talked about a lot.
It just could be like, you know, a Bigfoot observing, you know, mankind and realizing like, man, if I ever get like captured and put into a society where I have to pay taxes and go to work.
They get shot at a lot.
Majority of my life, I would get stressed out too.
They get shot at a lot,
yeah.
Whether people talk about it or not.
He could have just had a bad dream where he was a human for a day.
So that is the last of the biological explanations.
Okay.
Next one is still kind of biological, but it's more of speculative, like paranormal biology.
All right.
Active camouflage / defense coloring.
Ooh, defense coloring.
That some cephalopods, so some people think Bigfoot can change color like a cephalopod.
Yeah.
Everybody at home, cephalopod, octopus, squids, cuttlefish, that family group. The best color changers on the planet.
Uh-huh.
To me, it'd be very hard for an animal with hair covering its body to do that type of thing.
Unless the hair could change color.
Unless they have the double coat.
Or the double
coat. Where they flash one.
Yeah.
So why octopus do this is it's a really rare color in nature, especially the ocean. So if they're getting hunted, they'll bright white and expand their body.
Yeah.
And it's just big shock and awe value to where the predators aren't used to seeing this color pattern.
Yeah.
And it really, it takes confusing. Their eyes a second
yeah.
to really see what they're doing. And then they'll turn dark and ink or, you know. So what if this is, why these Bigfoot are white is they're caught with their pants down essentially. And they're flashing this color.
Yeah.
So through some biological means we don't understand.
Right, yeah.
So they can really maybe flush blood to their skin like a turkey can to its face. And really get a wide variety of colors. They can get white, red, and blue, and red, you know, and some pinks and some greens.
You're talking
from,
turkeys?
Yeah, from flushing the colors in their face.
Well, I just noticed that last week for the first time.
On our turkeys
out back.
What's
it called? A snoot?
Well, that's the snoot's what hangs down.
But it was like bright, bright red.
Those are conchals on their neck.
Oh, and then I turned around like a minute later and it was like not red at all anymore.
Yeah, they can go blue and it,
I was like,
there's
what?
Some greens what? In there.
I thought it was a different animal, no, a different turkey.
They talk through that.
Yeah.
They're talking with their skin.
But I'd never really witnessed it.
So
like
what if
that.
That's what's happening here is they're flushing blood to their hair
yeah.
or some other organ that we just don't have discovered yet. And it's a shock and all. It's when they get caught, especially that's maybe why we're seeing it in little ones.
Hmm.
Is it's this, wow, you know.
Yeah.
It scares off if a mountain lion is going for him or wolves are going for him. And a brown Bigfoot turns white really fast.
Just changes.
It could, that really messes with predators.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would.
Because a lot of times, like wolves, for example, and mountain lions, they'll single out one of a herd.
Right.
They'll chase that one. And they'll ignore, even though if other ones are closer to them, they will ignore all the rest of them.
Because they're going for that one. Yeah.
So that could be that defense mechanism to where if a predator's chasing that one individual young Bigfoot,
yeah.
they turn white, then the predator's, okay, wait, where's the one I was chasing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It could be. Like I said, that would involve a lot of organs or something we don't know about.
Right, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right. What do you think of that one?
That's interesting. That's a good thought.
My next one is for you. Spirit Bigfoot or spectral Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
Ghost, or not ghost per se, but in Native American legends and lore, a lot of their mythologies, the spirit buffalo, spirit moose, and the spirit salmon were all white.
Right, yep.
So they say that a lot of times it's a special one born into that population. So where maybe this is more spiritual, to where that there is a white Bigfoot born on a spiritual level, we just don't understand what they're them yet.
The meaning behind it.
What they are, you know, these are more forest elementals or nature spirits.
Mm-hmm.
They still maybe have flesh and blood parts to them.
Right.
They're more ethereal in that way.
That was their origins, yeah.
And then so every once in a while there's a white one born, and it means something or they do something special. And Native Americans talked about that with several other animals they dealt with. Like I said, the white buffaloes, we now have a couple in captivity, but the white buffalo is very, you know, very, very spiritual, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
And always, I believe, now once again, I'm not a Native American expert in mythology, but was always a sign of change.
Mm.
Good, bad, and different. Like when a white buffalo was born, it was a big sign of change for those cultures.
Hmm, interesting.
And yeah. So I don't know if it's something with that. Which is something I was noticed, you know, we have the Native American Encyclopedia down there and stuff like, and they talk about a lot of these animals like king salmon.
Right,
like,
yeah.
The king of salmon, the mother of all salmon.
Right.
Is a big white salmon. And it's just, I don't know if it's that spectral side, that spiritual side of it.
So it's more, I don't even know, symbolic than it is.
Yeah. A lot of times like the buffalo was just a buffalo, you could kill them.
Yeah.
But they were signs. Of stuff. I don't know.
Gotcha.
It just was something interesting that popped up in other researches that I thought was interesting.
Well, I can get behind it. I like that idea.
Next one is just flat out ghost. What if you're seeing ghost Bigfoot?
Ghost Bigfoot?
Listen to the episode, I think it came out last week, when Mark Muncie, when Eerie Travels, the crew came on, and they actually told us a story about a ghost Bigfoot.
Oh, dang.
Anyway, so what if it's ghost? Neanderthals, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. I don't subscribe to it, but... What if it is?
Ghost, or I would lean more toward fey like ghost. No, we both feel the same about ghosts.
Yeah. All right, next one is fey.
There we go.
As we're coming. So the glowing red eyes, the scary encounters, the weirdness. excuse me. A lot of these have really weird nature to them.
Right, yeah.
Not typical Bigfoot nature.
Like the going down in the fours and running off.
Yeah,
like
up and down on all fours, running like a deer, swift movement. This not being able to be caught. It's just this whimsical nature of them when they're walking along the property, strolling along the fence, looking at stuff, not scared of anything. It's just really weird. And they're not the right size a lot of time for what
right.
we see with Bigfoot encounters.
Right.
So what if a this could be a really big chunk of them. These are Fey Bigfoot. And like we talked about, the Fey wearing Bigfoot, like costumes essentially. And sometimes they're white. You know, they don't, there's a lot of this talk where they don't really know how we are fully interacting with them because they don't think the same way.
Right. They don't think like, you know, we, not like us human beings. Yeah. You don't know how another thing thinks besides us.
Yeah. So what about that?
Well, I think the Fey is definitely a part of it, not just with all these accounts, but, you know, throughout all doing all this, when you get within the red eyes and the odd behaviors, it just kind of wants me to lean toward Fey in some cases.
And I really don't think all of these are Fey.
No, I'm not saying but that.
The glowing red eyes.
That's usually the giveaway.
Fey are demons. The next one is, what if these and pale crawlers are the same thing? I can't see it, but what if pale crawlers are the sick version of a Bigfoot, a white Bigfoot?
They're just super skinny.
I don't know. It just, somebody talked about it. It's just weird how many white things there are.
Yeah. I would say when people see the pale crawlers, they usually...
they know.
Yeah, it's not usually referred to as a Bigfoot-like thing.
Next one, aliens.
Oh, aliens.
Because they've been seen around UFOs. There are tons of these that are seen with orbs. Tons of orbs are seen with UFOs. There's this weird underlying connection between the Bigfoot phenomena and UFOs.
For sure.
So aliens, whatever aliens are, you know, we talk about aliens a lot. But what if these are the interdimensional traveler Bigfoots, the white ones? And the ones we have here are the ones they left here thousands of years ago that maybe went more native.
Yeah, I'm wondering too if it's like, whatever these beings are, then the UFOs experimenting on Bigfoot creatures and making these genetic hybrids.
Making them white, making them weird.
Right, yeah. You know? Byproducts.
It could be. UFOs could just be, we talked about the UFO-Bigfoot connection episode. That they may just be just as interested in Bigfoot as we are.
What if they're creating these things to put them out and then they let them live their lives, about the end of their lives, they scoop them back up and collect their life data and put it into a server.
Sure.
And make simulations out of it.
But we also talked about some Bigfoots driving UFOs. And a lot of the Bigfoots associated coming in and out of UFOs are always weird. They're not quite normal Bigfoots. The Chestnut Ridge invasion and stuff like that. They were tall, lanky Bigfoots with glowing red eyes. They're always just kind of off Bigfoots. You know, Bigfoot we talk about a lot is a term for big, hairy, hominid-like thing. We all believe, at least, you know, probably if you're listening to this, there's probably multitudes of things we're calling Bigfoot.
Right, I agree.
So I don't know. It's just one thing, especially since a couple of these did have UFOs and orbs related to them.
Right, yeah. It's an odd thing, connection.
And the orb was really weird to me for the original encounter due to the physicality of it. A lot of the orbs don't have any physicality to them.
It's usually just like a light ball.
But this thing was actually...
Like he was holding
it. Like it had a shell.
Yeah. Like a glass, like a crystal ball thing.
I was thinking more like some kind of technology we just don't understand what it was doing.
Right, yeah. Could have been a small thermonuclear reactor.
It could have been a sun trapped in a, you know.
Right, yeah. From a different universe.
Yeah. Last one is probably the one it is. Fairy godparents.
Okay.
Now they're Timmy Turner. Our fairy godparents are back.
Oh, really?
Fairy odd parents, fairy godparents.
What was that? What was that evil? This
Crocker.
Crocker. That's right.
Crockpot.
That's right.
No, I just put that on here because it made me. The show's actually really good.
Okay.
It is, a lot of reboots suck.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty good.
Might have to check it out.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. What do you think? If you had to pick one or pick a couple, what would you pick?
Well, there's a lot of good examples. I like your I'm going to get it wrong. Polychromatic? Is that what it was? No.
Sucks to suck.
You don't even know. That's why you're looking it up real quick, because you can't remember, can you?
Because it's the common name is colormorph.
Polymorph. That's what it is.
Polymorphism. Polymorphism.
Yes.
But colormorphs are also, that's the layman's term for the same thing.
Gotcha. I like that idea. I like the idea of, right in the beginning we were talking about, I like how you broke down the albino and, I'm going to say it wrong,
Lucism.
It's a weird, too many C's and S's or something.
Yeah, albino and leucistic.
Leucistic, yeah. I like the difference between both of those. It's interesting. And then the old man Bigfoot, which you didn't like too much, but you know what?
It's not one I subscribe to a lot because...
Could be one.
The sizes, even I know as humans, we shrink with age.
Yeah.
But going back down to 6 foot, if let's say they lived, I don't know, you know, we don't know how big Bigfoot get, but I'm a big believer that males probably top out around the 9 to 10 foot mark.
Yeah.
With freaks probably being bigger than that.
But
a lot of them, I don't know. The females, I think, are going to top out at like 8 foot is a really big one, because it's generally in most species, it's the male, especially if males are born last, that they are just oftentimes massive.
Right. Well, if we're just dealing with just flesh and blood Bigfoot and leaving the paranormal side out of it, you know, the spiritual Bigfoot out of it, if it's just flesh and blood, I'm going to go with either the albino or leucistic combo and the color morph combo, or the stress. I do think the stress could be a part of it.
I'm a big believer in color morph, because that makes more sense to me than albinism or leucism, because they're just really rare.
Very, yeah.
And I just don't think there's that many Bigfoot. I think there's a nice, healthy population for them. But when we're talking about, you know, on the low end, it's, you know, in species, it's 1 in 20,000. And on the high end, it's 1 in 20 million.
I just thought of something new, too, though. Hmm. What if, okay, you know, we think Bigfoot have family structure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So community structure, right, perhaps?
They're painting these ones white?
No, not that. But what if certain Bigfoot have, like, certain roles within their community? Mm-hmm. You know, what if one of them is, like, a mystic or, like, a shaman type? Like humans used to have all these separate roles or classes or different niches within their community. And what if the white ones, like, what if they turn white through some, I don't know, spiritual, shamanistic ritual thing that they're doing? What if they're the guys that have sight beyond sight, you know, that can see other things that other Bigfoot can't? What if that's just their role in the community? And once they achieve the mastery of their powers, the result is their fur turns white.
There you go.
There you go.
Monk Bigfoots.
Monk, yes.
That's a hard one to say.
It is.
Monk Bigfoots.
Bigfoots.
K and the B don't go together.
So,
well.
Yeah, it's weird, ain't it?
Sure. Yeah, it could be it.
There we go.
I also seen somebody saying that they would cover themselves in ashes or something like that, turn themselves white.
I could see that too.
It'd be very, they'd be gray, right?
Yeah, maybe the gray ones. But, you know, when you're out in the.
It's very hard to find white ash.
Right.
And then if you're a color. And then you're putting the white on
it. Mask over it.
It's really hard to get all the way white. Like, but, you know, it's really hard to go the whole way.
I do think you could call something white that might be like a dusty gray.
I think there's a lot of yellow. Like, not that, like the...
Like, it's not white, like flavors even of the forest, you
even
know?
Even human hair, pure white human hair, has almost a yellow tinge to it.
Right,
keratin is a little yellow.
Yeah. You know, it's... So, I don't know. Yeah, I like that idea.
All right. I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jake... Clone.
Something. 31.
31? 31. 31. 31.
And we'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jake clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.